Hey guys, this is Danny McDermott from The Danny McDermott Show. If you want to see our show live, it's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Trust me, you want to see it then. You'll see all the screw-ups. It's great. Our show is an adult show, I must admit, but that's only because we're childish. Most of the guests that we have on the show are my friends, so you can just watch us hang out as buddies. It's fun. Just chill, relax, enjoy.
If you enjoy our original content, please consider becoming a supporter on Anchor so that we can continue to bring you laughs every week.
The following program may contain immature situations, themes, and is intended for an adult audience. The opinions expressed here do not necessarily reflect the views of everyone else working on the show. Viewer discretion is advised.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. How's everyone doing tonight? I hope you're all doing well. Or fair to middling, as the Irish like to say. How you doing, Kevin?
I am well, Danny. How are you?
I am... Kevin, it's my day. It's my day, man. I was born... Do you know, I was born under the sign of Guinness. I was born in the bar under the sign.
Yes.
It was my first bar fight. Somebody spanked me. What do you want me to do? Oh my God, I can't believe this is one of my favorite days of the year, man. I love this day. I grew up Irish Catholic, and for those of you who are Irish Catholic, you know the stereotype is true. Irish people like to drink. I think part of the reason is because they push us as children to go to this place where you can drink for free and they don't ID. You know what I'm talking about, Kevin? Church?
Yes, I do.
We found out we're Irish kids. We found out the blood of Christ was alcohol. We went from church to church. We did like a church crawl, you know, brought salsa for the wafers, you know, because they're bland. I remember the first time I tasted it, I'm like, this is the body of Christ? It tastes like cardboard. How dehydrated was Jesus? You know, I'm pretty sure I'm going, water! You'd think Jesus would taste like ice cream and cake and anything that you might want in heaven. You know what I mean?
Strictly for the true believers, Danny.
You know, seriously, if you want to convince me heaven is great, Jesus should taste great. That's all I'm saying.
They were, you know, the
they did one thing right. They made his blood alcohol. His blood was wine. How drunk was Jesus? I mean, I just picture him riding around on his donkey. He's like, you know, he gets pulled over. Hey, what are you pulling me over for? What do you know who I am? Do you know who my father is? Oh, really? Okay. Well, you still want to write me a ticket? No problem. Then I will perform a miracle. Syphilis. You don't mess with the J to the C. I hope I didn't offend all the Catholics out there, but that, dude, I used to think about that stuff all the time. They bring me to church when I was 3 or 4 years old. And if you're a Catholic, you don't understand when you're a baby, how are you a young kid? How are you going to understand the symbolism of the church. You know, we walk in there and my mother's like, look, this is the house of God. Here's the house of God. There's his son. I'm looking up. I'm like, his son? Why is he nailed to the wall? He must have been really bad. She's like, no, he wasn't bad. He died for you. The fuck did I do? I'm only 4. I'm sorry. I left my socks out. Jesus, I'm a murderer. It's crazy, dude. It's terrifying. I got so much more material about this, but I'm not going to do it. Let's make Kevin big. Bigger than he is. Hold on. There we go. Hey, Kevin.
All right. Hey, Danny, how are you?
I'm good. I am so happy it's St. Patrick's Day. And I'm working, so I can't do anything.
Yet.
How you doing?
I'm excited for tonight's show, Danny. I think it's going to be a fun show. I'm looking forward to our guests, looking forward to seeing what the night brings.
Me too. I'm so excited about it that I'm going to bring them on. I'm going to bring them on. And we didn't expect them to both be together tonight, but they are. And you know what? Wait, let's do a quick segment. Every time I snap my fingers, let's tell an Irish joke. Woo-hoo-hoo, it's time for an Irish joke. All right, this is a good Irish joke. I hope I don't screw it up. I haven't told this joke in a long time. Okay, so this guy, Seamus, walks into this bar. And nobody's ever seen him in the bar before. And he goes to the bartender. He's like, I'd like 3 pints of Guinness. And the bartender goes, all right. He gives him 3 pints. He figures he's waiting for someone or something. But no, he just sits there and he drinks them one at a time. By the time he drinks the third one, it's kind of warm. You know what I mean? And so the bartender comes up and he's like, you know, if you like, I can have the next Guinness ready. And that way you don't have to have them all 3 at once and it won't get warm. He's like, no, you don't understand. When I left Ireland, I told my 2 brothers that whenever I went out for a beer, I'd drink with them. So I buy 2 beers for them and 1 for myself. He goes, oh, well, that's kind of cool. That's okay. I got it. I get it. So week after week, Seamus would come in. He became a regular, and every single person got to know him. They love him. They're like, hey, Seamus, how you doing? Right? One day after like 6 months, he comes in, and he goes, I'll have 2 pints of Guinness. And the entire place got silent. Everybody's like, oh, no. The bartender goes up to him, and he goes, listen, Seamus, I'm so sorry. He goes, what are you sorry for? He goes, well, you know, normally you come in and you have a beer for each brother. So I assumed that you might have lost one of your brothers. He may have died. He goes, no, he didn't die. I just quit drinking. Awesome. You got one, Kevin?
All right. I do. Let's an hear American it. Goes to visit Ireland. And he's walking around town, and he notices 2 guys working. And the first guy digs a hole. And the other guy comes right behind him and fills the hole. And he watches these guys dig the hole, fill the hole, dig the hole, fill the hole, dig the hole, fill the hole. And he has to talk to them. He has to ask them what's going on. So he says to the first guy, you know, does it bother you that every time you dig a hole, your friend comes right up behind you and fills it in? And he says, no, I guess it must look funny, though, because there's usually 3 of us. And the fellow that plants the trees called in sick.
Okay. All right. I think it would help if you did that in an Irish accent.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. That's cute joke.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
It's a cute joke. The accent doesn't help at all.
Well, not the way you do it. All right, guys. I'm very excited to bring our guests on tonight. The first guy is a comedian writer. Ralph Gara is a comedian writer from Los Angeles. He's written for the Comedy Central and has performed at a strip club. Huge credits tonight. Next one is J.C. Carias. He is a comedian and actor from Miami, Florida. His stand-up appearances on Conan and Comedy Central. He's acted in roles on Fox's Lethal Weapon remake and the Disney Channel series Just Roll With It. Let's welcome these guys. They're together.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hey, we're here. Yeah, we're bringing L.A. It's still light out here. Woo!
And you're drinking early. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, you better believe it. Yeah. It's 6 p.m. I mean, so come
on. What happens when you book roommates?
We didn't even know you guys were roommates. We were shocked when you came in for the rehearsal thing.
Yeah.
We were like, by the way, JC, do you have a commercial out right now?
No.
Oh, no. Commercial. Oh, no. It's your arch rival.
Oh, which one is it? No.
He looks like you.
What is it?
The State Farm guy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Adrian Martinez yes. is his name. He books a lot of shit that I go out for. We're both Hispanic gentlemen, and he's just, I guess, better at acting than me. It's bullshit. I truly hate him. He got that. I went out for that movie, that Will Smith movie, Focus, and he got it, and I didn't. So. Fuck him. He can
fuck that guy. Let it be said or let it be known. Fuck that guy.
If you're watching, I'll go round for round with you, motherfucker. I'll find you.
Yeah, and Michael B. Jordan, if you're watching too, you better stop taking my roles. I should be a Hollywood
Creed gun. It's true. I know Ralph went out for a Creed and I thought he had it because these guys got skills in the ring.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice. Well, I, at least you're not like a generic white guy like me.
Everybody
looks like me.
I double dip. It's nice because I get to double dip. I think Ralph does too because we're both light skinned Hispanic gentlemen.
Yeah,
so
a little couple garbanzo beans.
It's great. Yeah, we get to go out for the Hispanic roles and all the and we take the white guy roles from you guys. So it's great. It's wonderful.
God bless. You.
Okay. Well. So
exactly. Well, we don't book them, so.
Okay, that's all right.
It's close enough.
Don't fucking book them.
How did you guys meet?
Through stand-up comedy. I met Ralph. Probably been out in L.A. for like 2 years when I met Ralph. I moved from Miami, Florida, out to L.A. And mutual friends. And we became close buds. And then right before the pandemic, Ralph was moving out of his place. And he was just going to stay here for like a little bit.
Like 2 weeks.
2 weeks, and then the fucking pandemic hit, and then Ralph ended up staying. So it's a blessing, too. You know what I mean?
Like the roots are set. Sherman Oaks.
So when did the lovemaking start?
The lovemaking between us? I mean, from the minute we locked eyes. I think we've been making love mentally with each other.
There may be an eviction moratorium, but there's no erection moratorium.
No. We've been, again,
I hear you have to wear a mask on your penis now. Is that true?
I wear a mask on every body part.
These are
really clothes. I just kind of sew a bunch of masks together into the items on my body.
So how did you guys, should I go back and forth? Ralph, how did you start in stand-up comedy?
I started, I think I was like 18, 19 years old. And
Years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 11 years ago. Well, it's simple. It's funny now because like when I started, there weren't too many younger people doing it, like or at least around LA. And then I think the last few years, it's just been like constant, like 18-year-old kids, 19-year-old kids, 20-year-old kids. So like when I was coming up, like finding someone in your age range, like with JC, and like we like the same things and drinking and partying, we're like, we're going to be best friends.
Nice.
Yeah.
So now how you've been doing it 7 years?
Almost about 9 years.
9 years, 9 years. Yeah. Okay. And where do you perform?
Everywhere. LA, I feature on the road, sometimes with JC. JC will close it out, I'll feature. We'll go tiny little towns all over the country. Vegas, we do a lot.
Yeah, we're going to be in – I'm in Minnesota end of this month. Where are you coming? You have got road games.
I'm in Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay.
And then Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines, Iowa.
All right. You're in a full city.
Oh, yeah. I'm in Kansas City in May. All right. And in Vegas, and I think you're gonna tag along for that one, you think?
Yeah.
So in May we'll both be in Vegas. End of the month we'll be at the LA Comedy Club at the Stratosphere Casino and Hotel, bringing the funny.
Well, we're vaxxed, by
the
way.
We're both vaccinated. Yeah, vaccinated. Woo!
Are you really?
Yeah.
How did you guys get vaccinated?
Stand by line. Yep.
Huh?
You got to go to the hood, and you got to stand in line.
Stand by line. So I waited 3 days. Ralph got it in one, which is pretty great.
I thought you had to be like 75 or older right now.
Yeah, so the way it works is basically you guys look great
for your age.
We look wonderful.
Did you dress up in old folks' makeup and like?
Yeah, you want to see my colostomy bag?
that's okay.
Basically, what happens is that some people are scared of getting the vaccine right now, and some of them don't show up to their appointments, and there's just a line of people waiting for those people to not show up for those appointments. And we just went and waited in different clinics. We became like storm chasers, but vaccine chasers.
Yep.
Because the Pfizer and the Moderna ones, if they don't, once they crack a case open, if they don't put it into somebody's arm, it goes bad. They got to throw it out. You got to come. So yeah, we did that. And I'm super happy about it. I feel great.
Yeah. We'll shoot you the info.
Yeah.
Yeah, so after you kidnapped the two old people, how long before you released them?
one of them we never released because they died in captivity. But at the same time, the other one we let free. We took him out.
I didn't want to because I got really attached to him, but he made me.
He wasn't house trained.
Yeah, he was not. But, you know, he was cute.
One witness is better than two.
That's true.
Two witnesses is poor planning. So also, I like what you guys did there.
We you just say they have Alzheimer's.
He makes it back to the city.
Yeah, that's true.
That is hilarious.
Happens? You get the first vaccine, then they guarantee you the second vaccine? Because don't you have to tell? Okay. So the second one is probably.
Unless it's the Johnson & Johnson one. The Johnson & Johnson one, it's one shot and you're done.
Now, how do people get that one?
That's the one that they're mass producing right now. That's the one that's more like out in the
it doesn't spread it out now.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be stored in the same extreme conditions as the other. So it's one shot, it's like room temperature.
Right. And that's what they're trying to do. That's the one they're trying to get to people right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Apparently that's the one that works the best, I think, too.
I think that what I've been hearing from nurses and shit is just that it's all basically the same. All that happened is Johnson & Johnson was tested against the new strains, and it brought its like efficiency level down a bit. Yes. But again, all I'm hearing from everyone is they're the same. Just get one if you can get one.
Yeah,
I know this girl that I went on a date with. She actually I'm getting to know her now. But she got a bad reaction from the second one and actually had to go to the hospital.
Oh, that's crazy.
That happens.
I mean, the second shot, you feel it. I didn't have crazy symptoms. How were your symptoms?
Not too bad. Just turned into a werewolf.
Yeah, he was a werewolf just for one night.
Of course. Of course. Yes.
I chained him to the radiator for a bit. Gave him some raw meat. He was good the next day. No big deal.
Yeah.
He killed a couple deer, I heard.
Super casual. We got a bunch of time out here in LA.
We got a bunch of venison in the freezer.
Mm-hmm. No, we waste it. We just kind of. We let it get rotten and throw it off the balcony of our place.
Yeah, it's kind of like Mardi Gras, but worse.
Yeah, but dead deer.
For vultures. It's good.
It's like Mardi Gras, but instead of throwing beads, you throw innards.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Intestine.
Yeah.
And instead of attractive women, it's vultures.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the same thing, depending on where you are.
If you're drunk enough, who doesn't mind fucking a bird every once in a while?
Hey, I've never heard of a vulture taking a fella to the cleaners during the divorce.
Hey!
Now I... See, now I understand what you said when you were talking about your pecker earlier. So
that last day really hit me just right.
So let's talk about stand-up. Stand-up is a lot of people. I've been doing it for over 25 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
I used to run a bunch of rooms in New York, and I was running one in LA too. But there have been a lot of hell gigs.
Oh yeah.
And I know everybody's got that story or two about a hell gig that you did. Let's hear yours.
I got one right in the chamber. I was in Seminole County, Florida, the Seminole County Casino. They brought me in to do a set. It was during the 2011. That was the Cardinals and the Packers NFC Championship game that happened to be going on that day when I was doing my set. And you're in the middle of the casino floor, essentially. There is a little bar area, but the walls are fucking wide open. And my microphone is just for this room, but there's fucking, you know, slot machines going off. And then they came and told me, hey, they don't want to turn the game off because they want to watch the fucking NFC Championship game. So I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll just go up after the game. They're like, well, no, we don't want you to do that. Just go up and do your time. So I performed with a pull-down screen playing the NFC Championship behind me. And then during my set, the microphone would cut out for them to call out bingo numbers. It was a real magical time in my career. I knew we could only go down from there. So it was the best time I've ever had on stage. Also, I got to just call the game.
That's
which
fun.
Was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's what game. You got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have
they
to.
Should, they should have had you calling the bingo numbers.
Oh, I would have done that too. If they would have just let me. I was calling the game already. I realized I did not have a career in broadcasting during that, though. I said the word fuck too much for NBC.
Mm-hmm.
I just was always, it was improv. Good job. Thanks. I was improvising up there. I was doing it. I was yes and in that whole casino.
Okay, I gotta say this because I got a similar story to that. Hmm. You remember Big Mike?
Florida?
You know Big Mike?
Big Mike.
He used to book rooms. He actually just passed away.
Big Mike Mitchell,
Yeah.
I don't know.
He gave me a gig headlining for like $50, and I'm like, oh, this sounds good. $50. And it's
name
in, it's
dropping,
in
the, and then also headline dropping. Danny, don't rub it in our faces, bud.
No. But when you hear it, you'll know why. Okay. So it happened to be in a neighborhood that was not white at all. Number one, and I'm not like the whitest guy. You know what? I walk down
Native
the street
American.
And like people think I'm a powder from the movie. You know what I mean? That's the sun's bouncing off me. They think I'm an alien, right?
You have way better hair than that guy,
yeah,
bud.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm very, very white. I get up there, and this is during a playoff game with the Eagles, and everybody's wearing Eagles jerseys.
Oh, boy.
But it worse than what happened to you, it was at the back of the room. The screen was at the back of the room. So everybody was facing away from me.
Oh, my God.
Watching the game. And I'm trying to tell jokes. And I realized it wasn't working, right? So I just started riffing. I started busting on people, improvising. Like, you know, like, oh, that tackle sucked. You know, and I'm commenting on the game. All of a sudden, I see their shoulders start to shake because they're laughing. Uh-huh. And they're all laughing. And at the end, I got the game ended right near the end of my set, and they turned around and gave me applause. But it was the best worst set of my life.
Yeah,
yeah. The feedback I got from mine was a guy went, "Hey, why don't you shut your fat mouth and suck my dick, you piece of shit."
Nice.
Well, your story ended way happier, Danny.
I lead with my house story. Oh, yeah. My house story is a credit because I love it so much. Is I was in I was at a strip club in Chatsworth, and they start off with the strippers, and they were killing it, and they were all killing it. And
so you didn't even open for the strippers.
No,
they opened for you.
They opened for you, and not a person in there knew there was going to be a comedy night, but me. So the DJ, and so this girl, she goes up, kills it to party like a rock star. I mean, she's like climbing the ceiling, she's dropping it down. The strip club DJ is like, give it up for Portia, Portia. And everyone goes crazy, and then the strip club DJ just goes, and your comedian Ralph Guerra. Didn't even give me the strip club voice, just the regular, just. He went from DJ Fees to just Travis the DJ, and was
give
just
it
like,
up, "Give it up for did you,
Ralph Guerra."
did you walk up to him and like hold your underwear out and try to get dollar bills while you're doing
it? Was the gentlemen at that gentleman's club were not gentlemen. They were vicious tigers, and they were screaming stuff at me. And I was like 22 years old, and I you know when like you're just like, oh man, I got nothing, and you're like you're looking for something to lean on. I fucking picked the stripper pole, and it was so greasy. I slipped off.
Oh my god!
The best part about it was that the strippers were very like, "You can do it, honey. Just believe in yourself."
You were like part of the squad. For that night.
Yeah, it was, and also that's also what I found. What partying meant as far as like drug use. One of the strippers asked me. She's like, "Hey, do you party?" And I was like 22 years old. I was like, "Yeah, I party. I love partying." And they're like, "Do you have any on you?" And I was like, oh, you mean
do I have a party on me?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby, I got all the party you want.
Yeah, I got tippity dyes, I got sparklers.
Right?
I got
Twizzlers.
Yeah.
I got a bag full of good decisions.
We have a birthday balloon in our place. It was our roommate's birthday
2 years ago.
Two and a half years ago.
So the balloon itself has had a birthday.
Yeah,
what's that?
Balloon, and we just keep refilling it with helium.
Yeah,
he's dead, our roommate. So we want to make sure, you know. God bless.
Yeah.
Oh, he was the old guy you mugged. Okay.
Yeah.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. We've been using social security number though, so it's been pretty cool.
Yeah.
Been nice.
Bernard Anderson.
Yeah, at least you still get to collect their unemployment. So are you guys getting unemployment? I know a lot of people are.
I'm not getting unemployment right now.
Well, it's hard for comedians, right? I mean, because were you guys doing full-time stand-up or were you?
I was on a Disney Channel series show called Just Roll With It. I was a series regular on that. And
tell us about that.
Oh, really fun. Great. A really fun experience. I did the first season as a recurring character, the Gator. And then they enjoyed me enough. They added me as a regular for season two. And it was a blast. I'm loving it. I don't know if I'm going to say whether or not. I don't know.
I love that you looked at me as your counsel.
I felt that support from here, Ralph. I felt very supported and very stable. And thank you for that.
Yeah. Again, he's like my legal.
He's a rock, isn't he?
I'm also the fall guy too. If anything happens, I go to jail for 2 years. I come back and there's a brand new Buick just waiting there.
Is the contract I broke out with. It's a Buick, but it's a new Buick.
Yeah, well, newish. It's like a 2009 century, but it's fine.
Come on.
What do you want from Buick?
Yeah, you know,
the 16. I wish 16 Buick.
I wish this was all just one Buick commercial.
Those newer ones are untested. You don't want to take that kind of chance.
Yeah, I want one.
Yeah, a hardy fucking Buick.
Yeah, how else do you think we got the Buick? We killed Bernard that was driving it.
So wait a minute. You're
cool being on a kid show, man. I fucking
okay. You can't say fuck that close to kid show.
I can.
No, you can't.
It was weird. It was weird because I do curse a lot. I had to curb It was hanging around.
As long as, long as he says show after kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I hung out with the kids too. There are kids on the show.
You don't want to say fucking kid.
No, fucking
that's true. Show. No.
You don't want to say fucking kids.
No, exactly.
I've been, again, trying to avoid that sentence my whole life.
Oh, we are so not offensive today.
Yeah, we're not so bad. No, I mean, I'm cursing a lot, but.
No, don't worry about it, man. Yeah. So that's cool, man. And how did you, where was that show on? What was it on?
Disney Channel.
Disney Channel. Okay.
Yes, sir. So, yeah.
Now that was before COVID, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Tell him how you get recognized.
Oh yeah. So, again, it's before COVID and everything. What would happen is I'd travel for stand-up. So I get recognized sometimes for stand-up, not as much. But what will happen is I'll be on a plane traveling to a gig, and I generally try and fly nicer. So I'll be towards the front of the plane. And
Fucking say it.
All right, so I'll fly first class. And everyone's boarding the goddamn plane. And what will happen is a kid will generally go, like, out of the corner of their eye, go, holy shit, that's the Gator. Which was the character I played, and right. But their parents don't watch the fucking show, so right. Then it's just a child staring at me, and they want to walk up and be like, they want to like, hello, and they want to have an interaction with me. So what I generally do is when they see me and I see it happen, I'll just wink at them and go, because I'm always hungover and I don't want them to come and try and touch me.
Yeah,
and that's not at all suspicious to their parents.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing: get control of your kid. They shouldn't be staring at a weirdo in first class.
Yeah, there's just a flight attendant. Like, there's just this whimsical man in first class stealing children, apparently.
But the parents don't know who you are. You just said it, so you're going
it's like they see Santa Claus, but he's like off the clock. That's essentially what it is. Yeah. It's like, so I used to go, like, when the fucking Harry Potter was big, if I went out and
right,
I'd get it's Hagrid, and then like, I'm not, but I'll take a picture with you. I don't care. But
you signed the autographs anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And charged $15, which is a strange number because they always go, all I have is a 20, and I say, well, then I'll take it.
And then he just waits for them to get it. Exactly.
Well, you know, it's funny because Kevin's still mad that you did that to him.
It's all right. Kev's living large, man. He's in the tropics right now. Yeah. I love it.
Dude, I'm just imagining the parents after on the plane having that conversation with their kids. Like, does he know you? Did you meet? Is he in our neighborhood? How do you know him? Does he ask you to come to his house?
also kids going like, no, mom, that's the Gator. And they're like, what the fuck is that? Yeah,
is that some kid pimp? Gator the kid pimp?
That was Will Ferrell's pimp name in the other guys.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yep.
It certainly was. And that's
Gator don't take that. Gator don't take that.
The character's full name was Alligator Shiflet, but I just went by the Gator.
Nice.
The Gator.
Just for all you just roll with it heads out there, I'm not trying to make you mad. They go to the cons and they get crazy, man.
Yeah, that's going to be weird to be a child, you know, because like you said, parents don't know. You know, that's going to be weird. When kids come up to you and the parents have no idea who you are. And
again,
you know,
it's one of those things that it works out fine. I mean, it's like kids at least are like, yay, it's the Gator. I think it's weirder when there are adults who really love the show. And then they're like, oh my God, Gator, you're so funny. I'm like, I basically play a guy with a mental handicap. Like, oh, I just flip on bananas a bunch. That was the entire character.
It's not like the kids are getting on the plane and saying, hey, Dad, if you want some candy, go to the bathroom with that guy.
Yeah, no, they're not.
You know, that would be awkward.
That's not happening.
Oh, yeah. I mean, where are you, Ralph? He's got one weird Tootsie Roll.
And if they came up to me and said that, hey, man, my kid said you had candy, I'm like, I did have cocaine on me, but we're not going to do it on the goddamn plane.
Well, nose candy.
Sure. Okay, all right.
All right.
All right.
The worst pedophile ever.
Yeah. Tell your kid to keep watch.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, Ralph, what about you, man? What are you working
on? I have
what
a day job.
Yeah,
so I have a day job. So I'm like during 9 to 5, and then at night I'm a vampire. But not, I mean, obviously not anymore with COVID, because, like, you know, I'm just, you know, there's shows around, but I'm not. I mean, now I can do them since I'm vaccinated, but before I was just too sketched out.
Yeah. And again, yeah, like during this whole time, it's been scary, and but now things are kind of bouncing back, so it's real exciting.
There's, I like you stared, like you had like a thousand mile stare. You're like, it's been real.
I think everyone had that moment in the middle of COVID where they were just like, oh fuck, man.
Yeah, it was scary. Yeah. No, really, it really has been scary. You know, I got it. I had it.
Wow.
Back in December.
Damn.
No, it was not. It was nothing for me. It was really not bad for me. But I know I had two friends that were on ventilators.
Yeah.
One of them was put into a coma.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's scary stuff, man. It's the craziest time, I think, in the history of maybe our country. I don't even know. Like,
yeah.
You know, well, the Civil
War.
Well,
it's in the history of the world.
Like, you can fucking even think back where it's not book shit.
Yeah. I mean, when Backstreet Boys came out, that was pretty crazy.
That
too.
Was pretty wild.
Different. Well, I mean, a lot. It was a little different.
Yeah.
I don't know,
the
man.
The beat was contagious, though. I'll say that.
One of the concerts, it was not different.
That shit was fire, baby.
There are some comedians where it just didn't make a difference because they weren't getting booked anyway.
Yeah, I mean, fuck,
but the comedians
right?
were making.
Yeah, they all moved back to small town Virginia. That's where you should stay. Come to LA.
You know what?
Fuck up the 405 for me.
Right.
Nope.
Right.
Here's the thing.
You know what?
If you get in an accident on the 405 and it's your fault, you have to give up your driver's license, and I tell you when you can have it back. I will be the judge for that. I will tell you if you can, and if you're a comic, you better freaking crush your set, because if you can't, you're going back to small town Virginia. Oh. If you're an actor, you got to crush your audition. Other than that, nothing.
And I think you add an extra year on if your license plate is from out of state.
Ooh, I like that. And if it's, I like that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, does everybody go to small town West Virginia? What if you're actually from small town West Virginia? That's is there a different destination for them?
No. You get a Greyhound bus ticket, and it's small town West Virginia.
And it drives through a portal right outside of the 5, and then you're inside of small town West Virginia.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense because I do think the 405 is possessed, so that would make sense to have a portal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wormhole right to small town West Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's ever gone 95 on the 405. That's what you got to do.
You know, but seriously, about this, about the number of comedians, the sheer number of comedians, you know, look, back when I started, I don't want to even say how long, I mean, I told you how long I've been doing it, but back when I started, it was before Last Comic Standing, before these shows. As soon as these shows hit the airwaves, everybody thought, I can do that. And the shows, well, you know, the shows are, they're all, you know, scams and stuff. I mean, they're not real contests, you know, they're a way for them to pluck young people and try to turn them into comics.
Yeah. You're and just there then for a B-roll shot.
And then they own them. Don't get me wrong. There are plenty of great comics I know that were on there and they crushed it and they're great. But I remember I auditioned for America's Got Talent one time, and it was supposed to get 3 minutes, and I had the guy laughing. He had me doing it for 20 minutes, right? And he was laughing the whole time. Afterwards, he goes, oh my God, that was so great. I go, cool. He goes, unfortunately, we don't have any more slots for white comedians. Like you.
We met our quota at zero.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
That's why the new hot scams involve vacuums.
Yes.
Exactly. You gotta show up and sell vacuums.
I mean, that's what, bro, Kev.
That's talent if you can sell a vacuum.
Kev, if you're on it 100%, brother. I honestly.
You walk in there, you throw a little kitty litter on the floor, you vacuum it the fuck up, and you walk out with a check. That's the new scam.
Oh, dude, that would be awesome. Dude, that would be so funny. Oh, my God.
If I was a judge,
oh my God, I'm doing it.
I would pass you.
I'm
going to
do that. I'm
stealing that. Kitty litter, like, this guy's got something.
This guy.
I'm going to do that, but I'm going to audition. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to audition for The Voice. I'm going to audition for The Voice doing
that. The Vacuum of the Month Club, too. A new one shows up at your door unless you're canceled 60 days in advance in writing.
I've never owned a vacuum that lasted more than a month. Yeah. I think you got something, Kev.
Yep. And you should see the next week he sells Tupperware.
I could do that.
I'm going to put some more ice in his out. Gentlemen, I'm doing
ice. Oh my God, Kevin, that's hilarious, man! So, I seriously want to do that now. I want to go in into an audition, and just have feces and wine and just.
You ever wake up there for a party and the place is a mess?
Ice maker, baby.
And you start telling your jokes while you're vacuuming. You start telling your jokes while you're vacuuming.
And, but instead of your jokes, they're just you're trying to remember your kids' names. But you're such a bad father that you can't, you know.
It's Diane. It's something with a ma.
Yeah.
Marnie?
Yeah.
Anyway,
the vacuum does all the work for you.
Yeah, I'll suck up kitty litter. No fucking problem. I'll tell you that. Two, three, four of them.
And if they give you a buzzer, you just stick the nozzle on their face.
Yeah. You just hold it up and be like, this time it's set to souls, bitches. Who moves to the next round?
There's a little disclaimer. It says, does not work for depression.
Really, you've got to suck on the right thing.
No, it sucks all your joy and happiness.
That's hysterical.
Oh, my God. This is great. Yeah.
We're having fun, fellas.
That's what we came for. It's St. Patty's Day, baby.
Hey, have you guys ever auditioned for any of those shows?
What's up?
Have you guys ever auditioned for any of those shows?
I auditioned for America's Got Talent. I wasn't past. Again, like, here's the thing. It's funny. I'm not a very clean comedian. It's kind of tough for me to...
Yeah, but it's funny because you could be on a kid's show. But
yeah, well, that's the difference. They write the words for that, so... Right. I don't have to, you know, say what's on my mind for that. Any of the acting shit, I can work around it. I'll memorize the words that they want to be in that shit.
Yep.
But as you can tell from listening to me talk for 15 seconds, I say fuck a lot. So, the majority of the time, it's just not, I'm not very clean. So, it didn't pan out when I auditioned for it. I auditioned. It was fun. Had a good time. It was when I was still in Miami, and I got bumped up to do, like, in front of like the producers who helped pass, and I just didn't get passed. It happens, man. It's kind of what it is. Out here, you go from thing to thing, and a lot of no's and a couple of yeses every once in a while.
They have an idea of what they want. One of the guys who I opened for. Our buddy, our buddy got third on America's Got Talent a couple years ago.
And I mean, like a guy who changed his life. And helped us massively in our careers. Just somebody who, very selfless in that respect. Just like,
who's that?
Oh, he looks out for his guys. Samuel J. Comroe.
Yeah. So, and then just to see like his life change from, freaking, you know, just on the edge, like, I don't know what's gonna happen, man. Da, 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 da. And then all of a sudden, it's just like you're selling out wherever you want.
A dude who earned it. It wasn't the show did so much for him, but he was ready.
Yeah,
he had all that capacity. Yeah.
You hear it all the time, right? I mean, he had an hour and a half before he even did the show, but you hear it all the time where someone blows up and all of a sudden they can't, they don't have 30 minutes.
Right.
And, you know, now, so now they do 15 minutes and then they have to get a feature that can clean house.
Yeah. And that's the thing, people bringing soft follows and that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Guys who can't do comedy in front of them. And then they're just, because they're like, oh, shit, I can't have the guy in front of me do good. Then I can't do good. And then Sam, on the other hand, he's looking for the guys. I mean, me and Sam, so him and Sam have been buds for years and years. Sam just saw me at a show, fucking crush. And he went, hey, man, you're real funny. You should come and open for me because it will help me be as good as I can be.
Yeah.
Right.
But having someone very funny in front of you, you know.
Yeah. You ride, you get to ride the wave.
Yeah.
You know, you get to ride it. They create it. You ride it. Otherwise, it's just you're coming from dead water. And that's not fun.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a quick funny story. And then we're going to, we're going to do our segment with all of our mutual friend.
Yes.
Anthony. But real quick, you're talking about guys who couldn't do enough material. So back when Ed Helms was on The Daily Show, I made him headline my show on the Upper West Side.
Yeah,
It's funny because he used to, before he got The Daily Show, he used to pass out flyers to get on my shows.
Oh, wow.
And insane. Yeah. And, but he got really good. And then he got on The Daily Show. I made him headline. He goes, I don't know if I could do this. I go, dude, you're on The Daily Show. Just get up there. And when he ran out of jokes, he just was talking with the audience and they loved it.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. That's what fame does. People just are like, the audience is like, okay, no problem. You know?
Yeah.
But he did have good material. He had good material, but he just didn't have a full headliner set. Okay. So here we go.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's ask Anthony.
What are some killer recommendations for your comedy?
Clearing.
Cheers.
Hey.
How you doing?
See you, my friend.
Yes, sir. Let me get that out so you can see that. Woohoo.
I'm just knocking them back, enjoying this fucking hang time, gentlemen. I'm just like the guy in the wings. Like laughing my ass off.
Good to see you. Hell yeah, brother.
No, I got to tell you, this is probably, of course, I'm biased, but it's probably my favorite podcast because you got two like figures that are funny as fuck together in one room. They're not like disjointed and fragmented Zoom boxes. This is a fucking couch of fucking fun. So thank you for being
a new couch of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are fun for sure.
By the way.
Oh, yeah.
Brought to you by Disney.
I guess we're getting explicit. I guess we're going to be called explicit on this episode.
Sorry.
More than trigger warning. More than trigger warning.
Sorry, Susanna. By the way, if you don't do everything we want, we're sending that to Disney.
That's called blackmail.
Please, we have reference. I know. I'm kidding.
It would help me.
Hey, so gentlemen, so here's what we're going to do. And, you know, I don't want to like go on and on and on because, you know, there's still a night to be had.
Yes.
In public. But I feel like I should have totally done the Leprechaun films.
Whoa.
I'm not gonna. However, I kind of did. So shout out to the Leprechaun. Who doesn't fucking love Warwick Davis and, you know, all that
Jennifer Aniston in the first one, King.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm just going to quickly start with a very underrated classic, okay? And I think both of you understand what I mean. Shakes the Clown, Bobcat Goldthwait, written, directed, starred. Have you guys seen this one?
I haven't seen that. I saw that
when I was like 5 or 6 years old.
Of course you did. This helped you on your path. I'm not even kidding you, sir.
I've never seen it.
You would love it. You would love it. This movie is fucked up. And it's basically like, kind of like what Henry Rollins said. He goes, you either get Devo or you don't. Same with this one. Hold on. Camera cues. Same with that one. Jesus Christ. Same with that one.
Fucking show.
I never have my camera cues down. Anyway. Shakes the Clown, the first time I saw it was like in 91, and I wasn't prepared for it. So I had to watch it again, and I totally got it, and it was fucking awesome. And it was so fucking weird like it's basically Clownville or Palookaville in this film. Everything is a clown. And Bobcat Goldthwait's character gets framed for murder and so on and so forth. Just watch it. But I got to tell you, though, after I saw it, I went into high school. And I remember the teacher would, like, brace yourself, everybody. The teacher's like, yeah, get out your books. And I'd just be in the background going, Shake's a clown. Some random ass shit, right? And the teacher would always like, who said that? And then, like, you know, 20 minutes later, Shake's a clown. Like, who's this clown? Who's this clown? Anyway, Shakes the Clown's shit. Clown. Best fucking title, also.
I love the VHSs, baby. I love it.
I had a drug dealer named Shakes.
I had a drug dealer that had the Shakes. So that's.
Oh, that's good. That's when you know their product is legit. Okay. I'm going to quickly go to an obscure comedy called Hexed because that's what
I
this
love
is.
Love that movie.
Oh, snap. There you go. We got one. There you go. Starring Eric Gross, right? And that other chick. I forget her name.
She was so hot in that movie. Oh, my God.
Body of Christensen or something like that. Anyway, basically, Eric Gross is like this con guy who works at a hotel. He's like the lobby guy, front desk clerk. And he cons his way. He dreams of like a better life. And his like object of his affection is like this world famous model who stays at the hotel. And that's her. She actually stays at the hotel. He lands a date with her. And she's sex starved and murders involved. But who really steals the show is Arlie Ermey from Full Metal Jacket, who actually is in this film.
Oh, yeah.
So it's definitely worth a look. What? Nobody remembers this one except for fucking Danny, which I'm surprised.
I love that movie.
What the name of the lead? What's the. I feel like I recognize the lead. What else was he in?
Ari Gross was in a lot of shit, dude. Off the top,
Perfect Strangers, the television show.
No.
Oh no, that's a different guy.
No, it's a different guy. Yeah, I promise you.
They look alike, though.
I think you're thinking of Larry Butler. No, Larry. By the way, Larry Butler.
He's not the other guy.
There's another Larry in the film.
Right? Is he the other guy looking at Bernie? No.
No, Ari Gross. He's been. I think he was in House 2.
Oh, House.
That's what I know.
Dude, I love House.
House.
That movie fucked me up.
Shit rips.
Rated PG-13. And that's the first House.
The first House fucked me up. I don't think I've seen
the first
House.
One was awesome.
It slaps.
First one was with William Catt, rated R. And that one has fucking meat to it. So, Ralph, you're not wrong. And in fact, you're never wrong if that's how you feel. But
I like it.
Yeah, the first House is badass. We're going to segue real quick. The first House is fucking killer, starring George Wendt, who was like Norman Cheers. The second house stars John Ratzenberger, another Cheers guy.
I like that. John was on my show. John's a good-ass dude.
Oh, badass.
And delivering lines for shit.
Oh, God bless.
Straight up, he needs to have he has to wear an earpiece.
A little earwig? Yeah.
Yeah. Someone God has bless. To be like
a John. It's your line.
Hey, I was on Cheers.
And dang, watch my line.
John, your line is, I love my grandkids.
What's that? Hey, we got
and John. Wait, say it one more time for me. Ha-ha.
Love it.
I love my grandkids. Sorry, Anthony, go ahead.
No, not at all. Not at all. This one has been... It's on the things to be canceled, but they're not sure how to cancel it because they don't know how to go about it. Okay? They're just not sure how to cancel it. They want to so bad.
I can't stand it.
Blank Man.
I want to cancel
it so bad, but it's not. But it is, but it's not.
Uncancelable.
Yeah.
It's immune.
By the way, this poster right here with the silhouette, I thought is like the most kick-ass poster.
It is dope.
Yes, I always appreciated it. I think the movie totally holds up. I mean, obviously,
maybe not a long time. I want to rewatch it.
Oh, it's totally funny. And
Man,
yeah,
I brought Damon on stage. I was emceeing at Stand Up New York, and he was at the back. I go. So, what do you want me to say? He goes, say anything. I don't care. Whatever you want.
So you held up.
So I told all the comics I was going to do it. So all the comics are like peeking out, waiting for me to announce it. Because they knew, I told them what I was going to do. And I get up and the audience is looking at me and I go, you folks may recognize this next comedian from Little Women and Steel Magnolias. Damon wins.
You appreciate that. Like, son of a bitch, say anything.
He, dude, oh, he laughed. He fell off his chair laughing at the back of that at the back of the club. He was dying. It was the whole audience was totally confused. They're like, was he in Little Women?
Damon's great. He's on Lethal Weapon with me, and he's a blast to work with, man. Really, really cool dude.
Badass, he's
man.
A good dude.
Moving forward, check it out. This is another underrated obscure gem. Boom, Quick Change. I'm going to go this side. Quick Change. Bill Murray.
Whoa.
Gina Davis.
I've heard of this.
As you can see, Randy Quaid and Jason Robards, God rest his soul. This is a pretty underrated movie. A lot of people don't know about this one. It kind of came out and left. Basically, Bill Murray.
What's the year on that, Anthony?
I think it's like 92. I could be wrong. But like early 90s. Right.
That's a peak Randy Quaid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he did pretty good in Independence Day in 96, but like, I think that's you're right. True. I think you're
but
right.
I mean, like, this one, he's like, that's a, maybe the height of, because he's not the lead. He's like a bit player in Independence Day. I mean, great scenes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's such an ensemble in Independence Day.
Yeah.
And you guys have mutual friends from Independence Day.
We do. Oh, do we? I mean, Jimmy Duvall?
Oh, right. Yeah. I was in a movie From the Dead.
Oh, snap, dude. Yeah, Jimmy's the best, dude.
Jimmy's the shit, dude.
He's like the nicest guy of all time in space.
So funny. We did like a scene together in that horror movie where he really wanted to work in the idea that somebody called shit gravy. He wouldn't stop pushing it. And the director's like, because he's basically the director Jimmy shouldn't be there is how he was treating it. And he's like, yeah, Jimmy, go ahead and riff it. And he kept working in the idea that I had diarrhea to toilet out in this in this butcher shop. So, I know that you're gravy in the toilet, dude.
Dude, the director should just give him a take. I mean, it's just give him a take.
Oh, he didn't give him a take. He put it in the movie.
Nice.
It's on Amazon Prime. You can find it.
You can't cap brilliance.
The man's doing gravy work. I mean, the man's doing gravy work, baby. Facts are facts.
Quick Change. Check it out. It's actually I love the deviation because that's what this is all about. There's a few more for us to go on tangents. I gotta say, Quick Change, basically. So Bill Murray, he robs a bank and it works very easily for him in the first like 15 minutes. But the rest of the movie, he cannot get for the life of him. I'm sorry, I'm like tapping on the fucking desk here. He cannot get out of New York. He cannot for the life of him. And I gotta say, Randy Quaid is probably the most annoying. God bless him, because I think he's like a third cousin in my family, because we're all related to Gene Autry somehow, and so is he. That's another story. I'll get back to you on that genealogy. But yes, not that I'm excited, because apparently he's yes, God bless him. They cannot get out of New York, and it's kind of a testament to like how much one can endure as an audience member. Just like What About Bob? Can you handle What About Bob? Can you not handle What About Bob?
Right.
Yeah,
I love it.
And Bill Murray, he's the straight guy. He's cool, calm, and collected the entire time.
Is he dressed as a clown in this film?
Just for the beginning.
Right, but is that what he gets into the bank with? I think I might have seen it when I was younger.
I think I saw it too.
Yes, you got it exactly. And I gotta say, it's pretty good. It's pretty fucking good. I've probably seen it like 20 times. So, boom. Now, I think you gentlemen are gonna really appreciate this. And before I bestow this upon you, happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody.
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day. Everybody can see Cabal Tequila.
Oh, snap. Damn, nicely done.
Sponsors.
I got a text from Wally. I also got a, I think Susanna sent a message from Wally. I got to like relay Wally's message a little bit later. All right, so this movie is a comedy. It's also a drama. It's obscure to the masses, but it's not for the stand-up community. Punchline. Boom.
Hell yeah.
There you go. Punchline. This movie it actually pulls the curtain back. I mean, there was one time in my life where I was trying to make this film about a serial killer comic. and he kills his hecklers and so on and so forth. So I actually studied. Well, thank you. Now it's, you know,
now so it's based on open. Kevin.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is a really good idea. Now it all makes sense. But yeah, so I hung out in like kind of workshop areas and different clubs, just kind of absorbing it and appreciating it for what it is. And I think Punchline, in my opinion, as a non-stand-up, does a really good Hollywood interpretation, but I think the writing is good of what it is.
Tom was on the circuit, like trying to, he would like pop in different comedy clubs and trying to work out stuff. And he was like really trying to throw himself into it. It's really, I mean, it's really hard to be a comic after, you know,
you make a celebrity.
Yeah. He was at the comic strip, and the owner who used to manage Eddie Murphy and discovered Chris Rock and all that stuff. He was my manager for about a year. But he showed me footage of Tom at the comic strip working on material for this movie.
Nice.
Oh, that's right.
Well, aside from his celebrity, and I appreciate what you're saying. I think there's definitely truth to that. But I appreciated that, like, Taylor Negron was one of the actual comedians, God rest his soul, opposite him, and a few other characters for sure. But like, it feels like a really good, like, honest example of like what it's like. It's not glamorous. You hope for that, you know, that big thing, but at the end of the day, it satiates your soul, you know.
The only thing about that movie, that there's never been a really true movie about stand-up, and I love this movie, love it, but the only thing is Sally Field never would have gotten that good that quickly. It doesn't happen. It just
you got 2 hours to do something.
Yeah,
you
know. But my point is, it should have. If you want to make a real movie about stand up, you should start, and then when they first start, then skip a few years, and then it's more believable. She just started out. She was a mom. She didn't even have time to write.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's valid. As a writer, if I may.
Yeah. I
think why I would give it a pass is because if I recall, she keeps saying that she was always able to make people laugh in her life.
But here's everybody the deal. Says that.
Well, whether they do or not, in terms of her validity, she's always been able to make people laugh, so on and so forth. And then she's doing Polish jokes. You know, like real cheap one note ass jokes in the beginning of the film. Okay.
Right.
So it's like, but she keeps swearing. She always was able to make people laugh, but then she starts telling stories about her life and she starts riffing. And that's when she comes into her own. So that's kind of her arc.
Right.
And that's
I just think the time frame.
You want it to be more realistic. It's impossible. You think it's unrealistic and it's a bad message to, would-be comics, because in 2 hours she becomes the shit.
Yeah, and it was a matter of
25 years later.
Yeah, well, not 25. It could be five, or five is
I know.
Believable. Maybe five. Even then, it takes comics a lot longer to get really funny.
Fair enough.
Go ahead.
No, please.
I was going to say, I think it's just for like storyteller's sake, everyone is just going to be like, yeah, we really don't want to tell a 5 year, like Marvelous Miss Maisel. She freaking rockets up.
I have a huge problem with that too. Same thing. Yeah. That's impossible.
It's just them rushing storyline. It's all it is.
Doesn't happen. Never happen. Even Robin Williams bombed for his first few years. Everybody bombs.
You know what? Perhaps this amazing Amazon. What is it? Amazing, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Jesus Christ! Yeah. Killer production design.
It's incredible. It's a great show.
But perhaps she's the one chosen one.
There has to be one.
You have to have that one little area in your mind where you're like, you know what? I'll let this go.
I've never seen it.
I'm just excited because you got Todd Phillips made, you know, Joker, and it's based off of King of Comedy. And what's coming next? Todd Phillips is working on another. He's working on another film, and it's based off of Punchline, and it's for the Riddler.
Yeah.
Based off.
Maybe if a magical elf came and cast a spell on her. To make her funny, I can believe that.
Not kidding. I almost grabbed King of Comedy. I almost grabbed King of Comedy, which is like right
there. I love King of Comedy.
Oh, I was fucking with you. Todd Phillips isn't doing a Riddler movie based on Punchline, but goddamn, I would laugh if he did.
Oh. I think I missed a bit of that, but I fucking I'd be the first one at 12 p.m. in a theater. No mask.
No mask.
Yeah.
All right. So what do we got?
That's it.
That's what? It. Are you serious?
Just kidding. You. Boom! Applegate. Meet the Applegates, dude. No, okay. Here's the deal. So this movie is called on video The Applegates because apparently they were ashamed of the meat part. Fuck that. Meet the Applegates is a gangster poster. Sorry, my cues are always wrong. See that?
That's okay.
I will never get it right. I was really good at Afterburner, the video game. I don't get it. So anyway. Meet the Applegates is a badass movie about basically cockroaches that get like bulldozed out of the Amazon forest and they move into the suburbs, but as humans. And their devious plans is to get rid of mankind. The end. But they hide out as like the suburbanites. And it's actually a pretty fucking awesome movie. And nobody knows. Every time I'm like, hey, you heard of Meet the Applegates? The Applegates, you seen it? They're like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, good to see you. So
how similar is this to Coneheads, like story wise?
The difference is they look like actual human beings. There's no difference. They're so vanilla. They're like Sally, Dick, and Jane, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Is the storyline? So Coneheads. Have you seen Solar Opposites? The Justin Roiland. The new show that's on Hulu?
I heard of it. I hear it's very good. I've not seen it.
It's fun. Again, I think that I was wondering whether they were working more off of Meet the Applegates. I think they're rolling way more Coneheads.
Right on.
Just generally because the characters, just they do not try to hide that they're aliens in that. It's way less about them being aliens and hiding it. It's similar in the Coneheads where they're kind of like, why the fuck is his head like that?
Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is like, you know, again, they look like random suburbanites. Right. And like when the kid smokes weed, the antennae come out of his head.
That's great.
And like, you know, the neighbor will find the mom digging in the garbage. She's like, oh, looking for bargains? She's a cockroach. She looks like a human.
That's so fun, dude.
But it's just fun, and it's like so underground and like pushed and buried, and I just think it should be seen. So
you have the fucking best obscure anything.
Holy shit!
Oh, that's very nice of you. Very nice of you. How about this gem? Strange fucking Brew.
Yes,
starring fucking Bob and Doug McKenzie. Now this shit's actually cult, but a lot of people don't know about it.
I don't know about it.
I used to be riding the bus as a kid. And we'd be playing the audio album of this.
Yeah, that's the hockey scene.
Remember
that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. I don't remember that situation in your life.
They had an audio album with jokes and stuff. That was the song that you always used to do.
So I guess it was like Second City TV.
Awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
Bob
and Doug. Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis, Dave Thomas, and they made a movie in 83.
The one when they're being like super Canadian.
Wait, yes. Dave Thomas from Wendy's? That would have blown my fucking mind if Dave Thomas was an actor before he was a Burger King.
I spoke to Dave Thomas about some of my projects, actually. I was trying to get him to – he told me because I haven't directed in years, but –
You mean he didn't direct Wendy's commercials in years?
No, I'm talking about in Strange Brew.
I'm kidding.
Dave.
Dave Thomas.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Yeah. Wendy.
R.I.P. Literally. This movie's fucking awesome. I saw it as a kid, and I had no reference of the sketch that they were doing. By the way, Susanna says her kid recognizes JC. Hell yeah. If only the recognition adds to a Venmo. Boom.
Digital. Okay, you can Venmo JC at Ralph Guerra.
How cool would that be? How cool would that be?
I want to jump into it and be like, well, the Gators real sorry about speaking like a adult man. Oh, no. I feel like being. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah. What a. He just found out Santa Claus isn't real, and the Gator all he has to say is sorry, dude.
I really do feel fucking awful whenever that happens.
Why is Gator dressed like Miami Vice?
Why does Gator look like he sells cocaine to bad people?
By the way, that's a
why is Gator in a Speedo?
I've never been.
Now it got weird.
In my life. If it's bikini for men, I wear nothing.
Boom.
Yeah. Pow.
Strange Brew. So.
Great movie.
Pow.
Check it out. It's badass as shit. Totally holds up. These guys are just booze hounds, and they go to their brewery to like fucking siphon free beer because they put a mouse in the bottle. They're like, oh, we got a mouse in the bottle. Fucking, we want free beer. And then that stunt leads them to this other fucking nefarious situation going on at the brewery. With like murder and so on and so forth. And Max Inside Out is in there, and it's fucking badass. Check it out.
They really step outside of the sketches they were doing. Like that's great. Like the things they were doing on SCTV. And they're the same characters, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They are. Super cool.
But this one's badass. And they got a dog that fucking flies once they give him beer. It's got a cape.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
It's so random. And I remember
like an old school Wayne, like a Wayne's World, like the idea that like what happened with Wayne's World is that what this is. Like where it's like, oh, that sketch was pretty good. But
check
the movie out.
Yeah. And I got to say, like, I remember like in 83, the trailers on TV, I was six. And I was like, and my mom was just laughing. And I'm like, I gotta see this fucking movie. And I actually discovered it like 10 years later because I didn't recall the name when I was six. But that leads me to Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah.
That movie was disturbing to me because I was really upset when they had that beautiful girl. I was young, a teenager, and they had all these hot girls. And all of a sudden, they go through the grinder.
You mean John Candy?
This is the one where they eat people, right? Or he grinds up people.
Yeah, the judge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so Chevy Chase. People. Yeah. Chevy Chase and Demi Moore get pulled over for running a stop sign.
Dan Aykroyd directed.
That's right. And he wrote and directed this.
Yeah.
And they have
him.
To.
That's the old man.
They were not ready. People weren't ready for this shit, dude.
They were not. And they had to, like, Chevy Chase and Demi Moore had to, like, deal with their ticket, like, immediately. So they had to go to the courthouse. And while at the courthouse, they had to, like, wait for the judge, which means they're stuck. They can't go on their vacation. And it's one shit show after another. Digital Underground shows up.
I was going to say, this is Tupac's
film debut.
Around the World. Is it Around the World? Is that what the song was? Or,
all Around the World.
Did they perform? I don't know what the song is. It might be.
All Around the World.
Seen this movie? Fuck.
I love
this. It's 90 fucking 2 or 3, whenever the fuck it came out. Incredible. I literally have not.
It's amazing.
I will probably watch it.
You haven't watched it?
I only like it because
of the theater. But I remember it was right here.
Oh man, yeah. It's a really, again, it's super out there. I watched it when I was probably too young. My dad liked to do that, where he was like, let's introduce this to some fucked up shit. And man, it's so fucking good.
Our dad sucked, man. I saw Pulp Fiction when I was four.
Dude, I was like, why does Ving Rhames have an apple in his mouth? He must be hungry.
That made me feel so old when you just said that right now, dude.
Sorry, dude.
But yeah, so Nothing But Trouble. It did not make money.
No, bomb, super high.
And it's audacious. It's fucked up. It's confusing. John Candy is in there. He plays like one of the, I don't know, just some maiden who's in love with Chevy Chase, if I recall correctly.
He's like the cop who is like part of the scheme. Again, I think this film, it really rides on the tropes of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, especially like what they did later on.
Because they lure them. The
family aspect, you know?
Yeah, that's
like,
good.
The idea of like, you know, like two or three.
Ask JC.
Family's in on it.
We're going to do a segment where it's Ask Anthony, and then we're going to cut over to Ask JC. Okay? Because that's a great fucking example about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Although this is a PG-13 film, but the concept is very similar. Yeah, where they lure tourists, like Speed Trap or some kind of shit. There's a movie called Dolls in 1987 that did something similar where they have like a spike trap. They basically – any tourist that goes past this fucking road blows a tire, and they got to stay at this fucking place. And it's a place full of dolls, and they're always looking for new dolls. So the tourists become – dolls. The end.
It's a similar theme for a lot of horror flicks and a lot of my ex-girlfriends. So,
hey, Anthony, did you see Willy's Wonderland yet?
Not yet.
Oh my God! They play with the same concept. It's a new one. It's Nicolas Cage. It's right up your alley, dude.
I tried to be an extra because they shot it out here. I submitted through backstage to be an extra because they were looking for Europeans, and with jazz hands apparently. And
again, I think most Europeans—that's kind of their move.
Yeah,
jazz hands, absolutely.
They didn't like my jazz hands. I didn't hear back from them. I'm like, really? I got the fucking. I had the traditional cap that I rock usually. And they're like, no, you're not European enough. I'm like, I'm Sicilian. Whatever. But so I'm gonna close it out with one more. And before we go to this film, before we reveal it, because I actually don't own it on VHS, but my story is this real quick. Back in early 2000s, I had a fucking massive toothache. And I had rented this film. And it was at my house. And I went to sleep, didn't watch it, but the toothache woke me up. So at 4 in the morning, I woke up in fucking almost tears. It was a fucking problem. And I said, fuck it, I'll throw on Freddy Got Fingered.
That's Freddy my favorite Fingered. Movie.
A fortuitous toothache.
Oh, I love it.
So,
Ebert and Roper said two thumbs down. They said it was the worst movie they've ever seen in their life.
After I watched it with my toothache, I literally rewound it and watched it again.
Yes.
Tom is a nice guy, man.
So I watched 4 hours of Freddy Got Fingered with a toothache, and somehow it made it better.
I've never laughed so hard in my life at a movie when he put the deer on his body and was like, be one with the animal. Oh my God. I laughed so fucking hard. And I was watching on VHS too, and I had to pause it. And so when you rewind on, because like you're watching on Netflix, it's easy. One click, you go back 15 seconds.
Rewind
on a VHS back in the day when something was so funny, you had to go hit stop, hit rewind, and then you kind of got a feel for like how fast the tape spun. You're like, oh, that was 30 seconds. Boom.
Well, you could have taken a chance and just went straight from fast forward to rewind, but you might rip the tape.
Yeah, you're right. You gotta take care.
Please don't break.
There's a way to rewind.
Yeah.
There's a way to rewind.
And how did we all?
I didn't stop.
And how did we all learn that? Poor.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So a way to rewind. I gotta tell you, JC, you got to like amend the contract you have with Ralph and make it not a Buick, but a LeBaron.
Chrysler LeBaron?
Look, Anthony, if you're trying to get me to give Ralph more of a better car or pay more money, I just a LeBaron's something I got to go seek out. It just says Buick straight out. So it's one of those things where I can just kind of find a Buick. Now, to go and find a LeBaron, that's anyway, Ralph's going to go to jail.
That's a good point. Fair enough. I can't see anybody arguing that.
Guys, I want to thank you all. Yeah. I want to thank you guys all. Yeah. We kicked ass this show. Anthony, amazing job. What a great segment tonight.
No, no problem. I watched kids all day, so it was probably half-assed. But
I love you all. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Real quick, everybody. Yes. If Danny, if you're going out, whoever wants to hang, we should hang after.
We're hanging.
There you go.
Yeah, we're hanging.
Danny can go.
What?
Danny's trying to catch a case tonight.
No, you know what it is? The restaurant's closed in 45 minutes.
Get out.
We're getting drunk in our house, Danny.
So you guys got all the time in the world in L.A. You're married. No, those guys.
No, I mean, in L.A., they're just kind of lifting restrictions.
No, they're open till like 2 a.m.
No. Bars aren't back.
I was just there. In Toluca Lake. The bars in Toluca Lake are open till 2 a.m.
It kind of depends on the place. So right now, we can't. So there's certain bars that are open, and they have outdoor stuff. So this week on Monday, they kind of opened up the idea of indoor dining and stuff. But bars that do not serve food, no, sir. And I don't want to go. Listen, I'm a drunk. I don't want to go someplace where some motherfucker is going to try and serve me an appetizer. Dude, please. Sorry,
Susanna said
maybe we should talk about this after the show.
Hey, sorry, Suzanne, son. Gator,
guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Tell your friends. Come back. Donate. Look at the bottom. We got a donation thing. Go to anchor.fm/the Danny McDermott Show/support. Just look on our page. I think we have it on our page. It'll be in the link after the show. Guys, thank you so much. Have an amazing St. Patrick's Day. Love you. Good night.
Hang tight, guys. Hang tight.
Nope. The